Thank you, choir, for that good singing. It's good to see such a good number in the choir. And appreciate all the hard work. God's doing a lot of things, and we're so thankful. It's great to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. We are excited about being in church. I like to come to church. I love the Lord. I'm glad that I can call Him Lord. And I want him not just to be my fire escape. I don't want Him just to be my spare tire fixer. I want Him to be the Lord of my life. You know, sometimes people talk, they want to talk about how hard it is to be a Christian. There ain't nothing else I want. Okay? I don't want anything else. I don't want any other life. And when I have problems, it's usually with the guy in the mirror. A lot of times people talk about, well, the devil this, the devil that. You got to get past yourself. Then get past the world before you're ever going to have to deal with the devil. And I have decided to follow Jesus. Just a couple of things, prayer requests before we read. We're going to read in Genesis this morning, chapter number 49. But I want to just mention Miss Judy Faulkner. She's back in the hospital. Please pray for her. She has been in and out of the hospital since the 1st of January. Brother Ray, who is over our men's ministry, he's been doing a lot of work in the meantime, trying to work his job in the meantime, but she's back in there. She's down to about 125 pounds. She's not been able to eat, having some problems, so they need your prayers. You know, you can get to the point that, you get weary, and that we just want God to touch them. We also want to mention a family to you. It's the family of James Biddy. I don't know how many of you, if any of you, know Brother James Biddy, but James Biddy pastored Fairhaven Baptist Church over in Douglasville for 37 years. He passed away Friday. I think he was 72 years old, gone to be with the Lord. We went yesterday to the funeral home and talked with the family there. James is somebody I've known since I was a kid, and I told his wife that I can remember when I was just a little boy going to their house, Brother James and Doris, right after they got married. My dad actually married them. James is just a few years younger than my dad, and I think one of the first men that announced his calling to preach under my dad as a pastor. I've known these people all my life, and here's one thing that I told Sister Doris about Brother James, is Brother James was faithful. He was faithful all his life to serve the Lord. And, you know, if you want to understand what difference Christianity makes, I've heard it said, I got to keep saying it, then you come to our funerals, okay? Because for a Christian, when we leave here, we're going to a better place. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And, you know, it matters, folks. It matters. How you live and whether or not you know the Lord, it matters. And, you know, he left behind, you know, a testimony, a heritage to his family. He had four daughters, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, that he had lived his life for God. But his family needs your prayers. Folks, we got a lot, and I told them while I was there, we got a lot of folks in our church that need prayer. People are going through things. We pray for one another. We lift one another up. We bear one another's burdens. And coming to the house of God, it matters. Now, if you got your Bible, I want to read in Genesis chapter 49. I've got a lot here. This is a lot of stuff, but this is what God has laid on my heart. And what I want to read is the prophecy of Jacob concerning his sons. Particularly, I want to look at the life of Joseph, and I want to preach on this subject. If you were to have a title, it would be Getting Over the Wall. Now, when I read this scripture to you, I believe you'll begin to see and extract that understanding out of this scripture. But what we've got here is where Jacob is there with his sons. He calls them to him, and here's what the Bible says. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, "Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days." And we go over to the 22nd verse. Now, what Jacob does is he begins to go through his sons, and he's talking about each one of them. And He's basically speaking of that about them or pronouncing a blessing on their life. And, you know, for the sake of time, I can't read all the scripture. Maybe you can go back and read it. But what you'll find is some of them, there was a great blessing. But some of them, because of the life that they had lived or the things they had done, the words weren't quite as good. But when he comes down here to the 22nd verse, he begins to speak about Joseph. This is the Joseph, and we'll talk a lot about it. This is the one that his father made him a coat of many colors. This is the one that was sold into slavery by his brothers. And here's what he says about Joseph. He says, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him, but his bough abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel, even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the beast and of the womb. The blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of thy progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph, and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. Now, I want to look at the life of Joseph for just a minute and look at the prophecy. Now, that word progenitors, it means his forefathers or his ancestors. Now, Joseph's name actually means adding. That's what it means. One of my favorite Bible characters is Joseph, and I love this story. You know, he starts out saying that Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a bough by a well. What that is a branch of a tree that brings forth much fruit. In the first chapter of Psalms, it talks about, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You know, you come down to the 23rd verse, and here's what he's saying, speaking of Joseph. He said, the archers have sorely grieved him. They have harassed him. They have shot at him. They have hated him. And what he's talking about, now I want you to understand where we're at in this story. Here's where we're at. It's where Jacob and all of the brethren of Joseph have come together after Joseph was sold into slavery, after they had come down to Egypt. Now they're back together as a family. And Jacob has taken his place as the father. All the brethren are there together, and they're sitting around, and there's a complete understanding at this point about what Joseph has been through to get to the place that they are. But look at the 24th verse as it speaks of him. It says, but he, speaking of Joseph, abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong. How? How? By the hand of the mighty God of Jacob. In the 25th verse, he said he's blessed and helped by God. He's helped, he's blessed. And those blessings that he has, here's the thing to understand, they came from God. But now God's not only blessed him, but in the 26th verse, it says how God has delivered him. Even though what happened to Jacob? They hated him. They sold him. They mistreated him. But God blessed him, Joseph, even more than them. Now, what walls did Joseph overcome? Now, I want us to look at this for just a minute. There's a lot here, so we'll try to move through it. And I certainly desire your prayers that we'd go at the rate that God wants. But Joseph overcame many walls. Here's the first wall he overcame. Joseph was abused during his childhood. In Genesis chapter number 37, it tells us the story of Joseph, that he was the 11th of 12 boys. He was dearly beloved of his father. You know, Joseph's mother had two boys. It was Joseph and Benjamin. And Jacob loved them because they were the children, the sons of his old age. Joseph was hated by his brothers because God clearly spoke to him and God began to tell him things. And he told him things that would happen and he gave him visions. And as Joseph shared those visions to his brothers, the more that he spoke to them, the more that they hated him. Because when he spoke to them and he told them the dreams, they could see how Joseph envisioned in the dream that these brothers would all be bowing down to Joseph. They hated him. His father made him a coat of many colors and they hated him because of that. And they were out in the field one day and they looked and Joseph was coming with his beautiful coat on. And they said, here comes the dreamer. And they took him and they caught him and they threw him down into a pit. And while he was there, they were thinking of even slaying him and taking his life. But one of the brothers, Reuben, he came forth and he said, there's no profit in us killing him. So they took him and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites. And when they sold their brother, they took the coat of many colors and they killed an animal and they dipped that coat in that blood and they took it back to their father. Now, I want you to think about what they did. It was harsh and cruel what they did to Joseph, but it was also harsh and cruel what they did to Jacob. Now, they sold him into slavery, and here's the thing to understand. They did not know what would come of him. They did not know what his life or what his future would be, but they clearly didn't care because they had even thought about slaying him, hated of his brethren. Now, that's a big wall to overcome, isn't it? Hard wall to get over. Some choose to hold on to past hurts, and they always seem to, because of their past, want to excuse their behavior, but not Joseph. What other wall did he overcome? He overcame the wall of temptation. You know, sometimes we say, well, you know, why are we in the shape we are? Well, you know, you say, well, I was under great temptation. Have you ever read the story of Joseph? Joseph, as a young man, he's taken down to Egypt by the Ishmaelites, and they sell him unto a man whose name is Potiphar. You find this story in Genesis chapter number 39. And when Joseph is sold into Potiphar's house, here's what happens. Joseph goes into the house of Potiphar. Joseph has a relationship with God. So much so that in his relationship with God, God has given Joseph favor, and everything that Joseph does, God blesses it. Now, folks, I want to tell you something. Two of my favorite Bible characters are Joseph and Daniel, but here's what I want you to understand. They both were prisoners. Okay? So here's Joseph. He's in Potiphar's house, but he's still a prisoner. But everything that he does, God blesses it so much that Potiphar sees this on him, and he begins to give more and more and more into the hand of Joseph, so much so that he's running Potiphar's house. And Potiphar doesn't even have to worry about it because he's saying, Joseph, even as a teenage boy, as a young man, God has blessed in my house more with you doing it than I'm able to do it by myself. You know, Joseph was smart, was intelligent, and he was probably good looking. Because Potiphar's wife, she sees Joseph and she sees his intelligence, and she sees what he's doing, and every time she's around him, she starts enticing him, the Bible says, to lie with her. And Joseph looks at her, and because of his relationship with God, he said, how can I do this wickedness and sin against God? Potiphar's kept nothing in the house from me but you, because you are his wife. And the Bible says that day after day after day, she pressed him to lie with her. I heard a man tell me one time he was at a youth camp and he was talking on this story, and one of the youth jumped up. He said, I tell you what I'd have done if I was with Joseph. I'd have just went with her. That's where the world's at today. That's why people are not seeing the blessings of God. That's why God is not moving in people's lives, because they've not made a decision to put God first and let God bless them rather than them trying to bless themselves.
He had to overcome the wall of temptation. Why did not he act foolishly and just say, it's not my fault. I've been rejected by everybody. I've been rejected by my family. I'm just going to fend for myself. He said, no, I'm not going to do this. And sin against God. James chapter 1 verse 12 and 14 says this, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. You go down to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. The scripture says that there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Paul said, I keep watch on my body, lest after I have preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. Here's something I want you to understand about God, Joseph and his relationship with God. He knew God. He had a relationship with God. He knew the difference from right or wrong. And here's the thing. Even as a prisoner, even in a position that he could have done something wrong, he had to overcome the wall of temptation. Everybody does. Everybody does. Doesn't the scripture say that we ought to lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us and run with patience the race that's set before us? Every one of you are going to have to make a decision every day what you're going to have to do, or you won't get over the wall. What about the wall of being falsely accused and suffering for doing the right thing? Jacob said, Joseph is a fruitful bough whose branches run over the wall. You see, when Joseph decided that he was going to honor God and not go with Potiphar's wife, he ran from her. Sometimes people say, well, I'd never do this, I'd never do that. I want to tell you, you need to quit saying that, and you need to just really learn when to run. Sometimes people look at others and they say, you see what they did? You see this over here? I want to tell you something. If you don't watch yourself, you'll be in worse shape than them. Joseph got to the point there that he said, I'm tired of telling you no, and he took off. He just had to run. Why? Because maybe it just got to the point that's sometimes what you have to do. Do you know that sometimes you need to run and get out of the circumstances you're in, lest you'll be devoured by it? He ran. And when he ran, she grabbed the garment that was on his back. And she had it in her hand. And you know, this lust and this desire and this love or attraction, whatever it was that Potiphar's wife had for Joseph, turned immediately to hate. Isn't that the way it is? Isn't that the way it is? You know, you study other stories in the Bible. You can study about the story of Amnon and Tamar, his sister, and you can see how that because sometimes people think, if I don't have this, if I don't have this, the desire that they have turns to hate and disdain. Because the loneliest moment of life is when you obtain the thing that you think will bring ultimate satisfaction, and all of a sudden you realize that it does not satisfy. So she grabs his garment, and he flees. She lays the garment by her, and she says, this Hebrew that you brought in, he's come to mock us, and you've given him all this authority in the house, and look at what he's done. Here's Joseph, innocent, tried to do the right thing, wrongfully accused, and Potiphar takes him and casts him into prison. Have you ever been trying to do the right thing and suffered for it? Sometimes today in the lifetime, the time that we live in, we try to do the right thing and we still get rejected. You try to do the right thing and people don't appreciate it. You try to do the right thing at work and you end up not getting a promotion because you would not go along with something else. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17 says this, it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for doing well, than for evil. You know, it's better to be humble and be accused than to be proud and to be self-righteous. Here's the question. We're going to move on. We're going to get back to this in just a minute where it applies to us. But do we want God's blessing on our life, or do we think we want control and do all things by ourselves and think we can do a better job than God? I can't. Here's the fourth wall. It's the wall of being forgotten by those who have helped you when you needed them. You know, when Joseph got over here to prison, he was there and God began to do the same things in his life. Even in the prison, he was blessed. They saw the hand of God on him, and God did give him favor in prison even there. But they knew that Joseph had a relationship with God, and God had given him favor. There was a butler and a baker that had a dream, and they were very perplexed about those dreams. And Joseph heard them, and he gave them the interpretation of the dream. And he told the cupbearer, he said, "When you are restored, would you mention to Pharaoh where I'm at down here? Would you tell him that I did no wrong and I've been suffering in this prison? And would you remember me? Have you ever had someone that you talked to that you just wanted to remember you? Have you ever had anybody that you tried to help or somebody that you cared for, and when you needed them, you turned around and you looked for them and they were nowhere to be found? They didn't appreciate you." Remember the story in the New Testament of where there were 10 lepers that came to Jesus, and when they came to him and he told them what to do, there was only one that returned. Where are the 9? Joseph interpreted the dream of the cupbearer, and what he asked, he said, "Will you remember me?" You know, when we look at these walls, we see the wall of being rejected and hated by those of his own family, mistreated by those in your family, the wall of temptation, the wall of being falsely accused, the wall of being forgotten by those who that didn't remember you. Do y'all know that we're at in this story? Joseph's just getting started. He's just getting started. God's got work for Joseph to do, and all the things that he went through in his life to get him to this point were just preparation for what God is doing. And we get to hear. Sometimes in our life we say, "God, I don't understand. I don't know what you're doing. What in the world's going on?" Maybe you're just getting started. We get down here and we find, and this is what I want to share with you, is we find 3 walls that every person is going to encounter. But here's what I want you to understand, Christian, child of God, is that God never meant for you to be stalled at any of these walls. What God wants is God wants you to get over the walls of your life. He wants you to be able to have victory, and he wants you to be able to live a complete and a fulfilled life that honors him. But what you've got to do is you've got to get your focus and your attention on him and off of the walls of your life. Here's wall number 1. It's the wall, and we've all faced it, of goofy, nutty, dysfunctional, vengeful, scheming, spiteful, mean, and hurtful people that we meet in our lives. Do you know that every one of us have them? You know, sometimes I hear stories and people tell me stories about things going on in their life, and I say, "What is wrong with people?" You know, sometimes, and this is what amazes me, is you got people that love God, that serve God, and their families are nuts. Why won't my kids do right? Why won't my loved ones do right? Why do my neighbors act this way? You got to realize that you can't control other people, and what you want to do is serve God and live for God and let God work in your life. You know, God wants to bless everybody, but you know, if we could pour it down their throat, we would, but we can't. But what you need to do is recognize where God's got you, and don't let the people that frustrate you, the people that create walls in your life, cause you not to be able to serve God. Because if you get distracted by that, here's what happens. You get your mind more on them than you've got it on God. And God don't want you to do that. He wants to be first in your life. So you consider, what did Joseph's family do to him? You ever had family members mistreat you? It's awful. It's awful. I heard yesterday somebody mention something. It wasn't the family that I went to saw the funeral, it was another family, but they mentioned about somebody passing away, and they said, yeah, pray for the family. The family's in a mess because he didn't have a will. Anybody familiar with that? You know, it's a shame of what families go through, but you know, look, you think it's bad at your house? Joseph was thrown into a pit, and they were going to kill him. And they took him and sold him into slavery. How do you get over this wall? You get over this wall by obtaining favor. I want you to think about this. Remember the life of Joseph. How did Joseph get over this wall? Have you ever said that, God, if it's going to be done, you're going to have to be the one that does it because I can't do it? If you've never said that, I don't know. I tell you something, that's a daily thing for me. God, I need your help. If you don't help me, I'm not going to have help. If you don't help me at work, I'm not going to be able to do it. If you don't help me in life, I'm not going to be able to do it. God, if you don't help me drive, I'm not going to be able to do it. How did Joseph get over the wall? The principle of favor. Remember the coat of many colors? Folks, that's a picture of God's favor. If you read your book, and I'm going to give you these scriptures. I can't read all these places, but back in Genesis chapter 37, verse 3 and 4, Joseph had favor with his father, Jacob. His father loved him. Why? I believe that he saw something in him that God had a plan. He even told him when he spoke to him about these dreams. Pay attention, Joseph. Pay attention, because God is going to do something. You go over to the 39th chapter of Genesis, and we find where Joseph had favor of the Lord in Potiphar's house. I love to read this scripture, and I want to just read a couple of verses. In the third verse of the 39th chapter says, his master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Now, folks, if I knew that I could find me a Joseph, I'd open a business tomorrow. Amen. You know who I want working for me? It's somebody like Joseph. Somebody that has the favor of God, that wants to honor God, that's not going to cheat and steal and do you wrong. Because without God, what do we have? We can't do it by ourselves. You go to the 39th chapter and the 20th verse. We find that he had favor even with the keeper of the prison. In the 21st verse, even in prison, it says, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Now, you go on down and you look a little further and you go to the 38th chapter of the 41st chapter in the 38th verse, we find that even after he was delivered from prison, same thing happened with Pharaoh. Same thing. And it says in the 39th verse, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, forasmuch as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. You know, sometimes even though God is blessing us and we're doing work for the Lord and we know that God is in our life, you know the reality of it is all the pain and the hurt that those people created in our lives is still there. It doesn't go away. And one thing I've learned as I've gotten older, and you hear people, and I've heard people say things like this, when something happens to somebody, maybe when they're a child, oh, they'll get over it. I've learned that's not true. You know, I've known stories, and you have too, and this is something that we have to deal with regularly in ministry, where a child might have been abused in a home, whether it be sexually or physically or mentally, and, you know, people say, oh, they'll get over it. I want to tell you something. It goes with them. When a father mistreats his son and tells him he'll account to nothing, I want to tell you it goes with him. When somebody is abused in life, when a young girl is not loved by her father, it's hard for us to get them to understand that there's a heavenly father in heaven that loves them and accepts them just like they are. It goes with them. How do you get over that? I want to tell you it takes the favor of God. It's the hand of God. It's the blessing of God. It's a personal relationship with God that you understand through meeting him for yourself. And then you begin to understand that God loves you just like you are, and God can work in your life despite those walls of those people that have done you wrong. What's the principle? It's the principle of favor. Here's another wall that everyone will encounter. It's the wall of being wrongfully accused and lied about. Folks, I've been lied about. I've had people talk about me. I've had it happen in the churchyard. I've had it happen in work. You ever seen somebody post something about you on Facebook and you say, how do they know so much about me? I say this, I don't worry about somebody telling lies about me. It's the truth that concerns me. Joseph was wrongfully accused. He was wrongfully accused in Potiphar's house. He was lied about and he ends up in prison. What can help you get over this wall? What can help you get over the wall when you're not done right? When your family don't do you right? You ever made the comment, I don't know why they don't love me like they should. All I've ever tried to do is be a good mama. All I've ever tried to do is be a good daughter or a good son. I don't know why they treat me this way. I don't know why it's so difficult to have a relationship with them. Here's the principle. It's very difficult, but it's found in the Word of God. It's the principle of forgiveness. You see, you must forgive if you ever want to get over the wall. You know, the way you do that is you really realize that your strength, all your power, all the ability that you have doesn't come from other people, but it comes from a personal relationship with the living God. In Genesis chapter number 42, we find the way that Joseph got over this wall through this principle. In Genesis chapter number 42 and verse number 18 here, we find where Joseph, he wept. He saw his brothers. And when he saw them and he recognized them and they didn't recognize him, you know, they had come down to Egypt because there was a great famine in the land and it was so bad that people were starving to death. It was 7 years of no harvest. 2 years in, people are starving. 10 of Joseph's brothers show up. He sees them and he recognizes them. And he begins to speak to them in a different language. Although he could speak Hebrew, he speaks through an interpreter and they didn't know who he was. And when he saw them, he wept. You know, he tests them by accusing them. And basically he forces them to bring back Benjamin. But when he sees them coming, he prepares to dine with them. He sets the table. He brings the best that he has. And, you know, his younger brother there, Benjamin, his brother, the brother that was of his mother, Leah, Rachel. And Leah, Rachel was his mother. He sees Benjamin and he just so distraught and so touched in his heart that he has to go into another room and hide his face. And when they sit him at the table, he lines them up according to their birthright, how, you know, who was born first. And he gives five times as much to Benjamin, his brother. All along, here we are, Joseph sees him. He already has it in his heart to love him and forgive him. He wants to bless him. You know how you're going to get over the wall of the people that have done you wrong, the people that have falsely accused you, is you show them the love of Christ in spite of what they've done. They won't know what to do with it. And the devil that's harassing you all the time, when you start serving God in the midst of that, he's going to get so frustrated, he's going to bother somebody else. Joseph blesses his brethren. Joseph's heart is toward Benjamin. And as they're coming back and they're bringing Benjamin with them, and he's there, and you know, he's basically so overwhelmed in the 45th chapter, the 1st through the 8th verse, that he begins to weep openly in front of them, pushes everybody out of the room that's not his family, and he just cries out loud. You ever wish you could do that? Have you ever had the willingness to have enough forgiveness in your heart that you could do that? These people tried to kill him, but he wept over them. And he brought them to him, and he took his brother, and he squeezed him, and they both wept on one another's necks, the Bible says. And he says, just stop. Just stop. God had a plan. You know that Judah is in the bloodline of Christ. You ever stop to begin to think maybe this story really is not about Joseph, but it's about what God's going to do through Judah? Remember, Joseph's name means adding. Have we ever been willing enough to let God work in our life that we can climb the walls of our life and realize that the things we do in life are not about us anyway? It's about a living God, and our purpose is to fulfill His will on this earth. That's why we're here. You know, when Joseph relieved them or released them, God lifted him. It's hard to do. But he ever been really mistreated by someone waiting for the opportunity that they need God and you can be the one that blesses them? Do you know that the world is full of people like that? Here's the last one. It's the wall of broken promises. Joseph was lied to, promises that weren't fulfilled. They said, yeah, we'll remember you. But you know, after Joseph spoke and interpreted the dream of the cupbearer and he was delivered to his place in Pharaoh's house, he didn't remember Joseph. Joseph spent 2 more years in prison. Now, y'all, I got 1 year, 8 months, and 2 weeks till I'm going to retire from my job. I'm thinking, oh, God, I need favor in the prison. Then I look at Joseph. 2 years in prison. Now, God blessed him, but what about you? You ever find yourself in a place you don't want to be? Maybe a job you didn't really want, but it's the job you have. Maybe some circumstances where you have to minister to somebody that you don't want to minister to. I heard a story one time of a lady, and sometimes this is the way it is in our life. You know, we face things in our life sometimes we don't want to face. You ever been the caregiver to somebody you didn't want to be the caregiver to? Maybe you're the only one that's left, and that person, that family member in your life, is a person that hasn't treated you right, they haven't done you right, but they find themselves in a position in life that they need help, and you're the one that has to give it. I heard a lady tell a story of her mother-in-law. She said, I married her son. She hated me from day one. She said, I wasn't the right person. I wasn't the right color. I didn't have the right background. I didn't have the right stature. She abused me, and even when I went there to begin to care for her to start with, Those verbal assaults didn't stop. They continued to come. She continued to say cruel and mean things to me. She said I would care for her and go into the other room and cry. She said, but after a period of time, here's where God works. And she said, I saw her heart begin to be softened. And I began to have a relationship with someone that before they died, we loved one another and we came together. Do you know that that's what God wants to do in our life? But if we don't have the principle of forgiveness, we'll never be able to get to the place that God wants us to get. How do you get over broken promises? It is through faithfulness and worship. Doing the right thing in the sight of God, even when things are going badly for you. We find this in Joseph's life. We find it in the rejection of moral sin in chapter number 39. And we also find it even after he was forgotten in prison. You know what sometimes people do? They say, well, you know, this didn't go right and this didn't go right. I'm just going to go back to fill in the blank. You know why Joseph didn't just go back to? Because Joseph had a real relationship with a living God. Faithfulness. And then you have the principle of worship. Here's what I like about Joseph. Everything you read about Joseph, Joseph had favor of the Lord. But also everything you read about Joseph, Joseph gave the honor, the glory, and the credit to God. What we find here in Genesis chapter 40, verse 5 through number 8, what's happening is when the dreams were interpreted, basically what Joseph did, he says this. He said, the interpretations belong to God. He said, it's not me, it's him. Okay, you come down here to the 41st verse, 41st chapter in the 15th verse. He says it again. He said, it's not me, God shall give. When he's speaking to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said, can you do this? They couldn't do it over there. They couldn't do it over there. I want to tell you what the world can't do, God can do. He said, it's not me, God shall give. And then in the 41st verse, the 25th, 41st chapter, 25th verse. Folks, this is a lot of scripture. I'm trying to get done. He said, God hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. He didn't say, you know how some people are? Yeah, I got it. He said, God, if you can do something, if you're smart, if you have any ability, you need to say, God. God. God hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. Now, folks, Joseph, he got over these walls. I want to show you just a nugget in the scripture. Now, this is really, here's something to understand. Joseph was able to reconcile with his brothers. They came back, and obviously they had a relationship that was created there. And during this time, this is how the children of Israel got down to Egypt. You know, God had to deliver them later. But it got to the point that when the brethren and Jacob came, Pharaoh said, who's that? They said, oh, that's Joseph's brethren. Do you know the Bible says that Pharaoh was glad? They gave them much. They were blessed. They let them be blessed in the land, but they began to multiply. But in your life, it may not work that way. You may not ever really be fully reconciled with the ones that have done you wrong. Your family that's mistreated you, the people in your life that have done you wrong, you may never have the ability or opportunity to cry on their neck, to forgive them, to bless them. But I want to show you something about Joseph. Joseph was restored before his family ever came. And I want to show you a couple of places, a couple of verses. Genesis chapter number 41. This is before his brethren came. If you go down to the 51st and the 52nd verse, and this is after Joseph was made to be ruler over Egypt, and after he got out of prison, and he had a wife, and he had two sons. says, and Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. For God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil in my father's house. Now this word Manasseh means making to forget. Remind you, this is before his brothers ever came. You go to the next verse and it says, and the name of the second he called Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land. Listen to this, fruitful in the land of my affliction. The word Ephraim means doubly fruitful. Before his brothers ever came. Before he was ever able to reconcile. You know what people say? They say, I can't be happy because, I can't be at peace because, and they fill in the blank of something somebody else has done or somebody else has done to them. I want to tell you, Joseph found his strength and his ability in honoring God and serving God, not in the circumstances of others. And he said, Manasseh and Ephraim, his sons. Do you know, I love the fact that these names in the Old Testament, they mean something. Joseph is a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. I don't know about you, but I got walls. Have you ever said, Lord, I need you, Lord, to help me get over my walls? You got walls you need God's help with? I do. You know, the first thing you need to do to be able to get over these walls is you need to have a relationship with God. I'm going to ask you to rise to your feet for just a moment. We're going to have an invitation. We're going to tell you the altars always are open. But they're open especially right now. But you know, Joseph had a relationship with God. But don't you just imagine that there were times in his life when he was there in the prison, when he was trying to do the right thing and he was mistreated because of it, that he got down and maybe said, God, try to do right. God, I don't understand why things continue to happen like they are. God, I need you to speak to me right now. I need you to speak to me in my prison cell. God, I need you to speak to me in the midst of my circumstances. God, I need you to speak to me where I'm at because right now, God, I'm hurting. And there may be a great victory coming, and there may be fields of corn that are going to be planted, and my brothers may or may not come back. But right now, God, I need you to help me. Maybe somebody like that this morning. They play the song, and you like to pray. Would you please come?